Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Job Israel of The Sounds of Living Waters, and here reading for me today is your brother Keith Hutchinson. We are today dealing with the creation. We are dealing with the first day in the creation. This just happened to be part two of God. You know, what is God? Who is God? You know, we dealt with the power and the spirit of God. But who is He? And where did this word come from? I know a lot of us want to say God in reverse means dog, and it's a mean ball, and, you know, come up with all these terms pertaining to the word God or Lord and things like that. Well, my concern isn't yours. I don't have a problem using those terms because they're written throughout the Bible, and if He says so, I'm good with it. The other thing I also understand is that this whole language itself is bastard, you know, and it's a part of our captivity. You know, this language is our captivity. You see, if we were in our own land and we spoke our own languages, we would be fighting against our captives. But because we lost our identity, we also lost our God and His ship. So no, man, I'm not in no problem with this because it's a part of the law. Our forefathers sinned, and so this is a part of the punishment, you know, that we have to deal with this other language. What we call today is English, which is none more than ancient Phoenician with a Latin accent. Or Greek accent, I should say, right? So with that being said, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to my brother Keith. Shalom, Israelite.
Shabbat Shalom, brother. Grace and peace.
Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, Shalom. Grace and peace. And I want to say Shabbat Shalom to my wonderful and sister in Christ and one of chocolate wonder, Maria. Serene Israel.
Shabbat Shalom, King Grace. Shabbat Shalom, family. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. Like I said, we are dealing with the creation. We in the first day, those of us that hasn't had an opportunity to experience this precept. Well, now is a good time to sit down and go get into these scripts, because we finna go from ground zero all the way. God willing, we live, man. We're going to get to this. So, Brother Hutchison, do you have a scripture to open us up with? And we'll get prayed in, and we'll get started.
I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of the old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I have read Psalm 77, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord add a reading in the teaching of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. And Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren, and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. And a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. So let's get started with this, brother, without delay. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and read to verse 5. Genesis 1 and 1 to verse 5. And continue.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Brother, you want me to continue reading? Shalom.
Oh, my bad. Did you hear me?
Shalom, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Apologies. Well, I just want to say this. Forgive me, I had my microphone. This is the thing. We are dealing with the creation from the first day to the 14th day. You see, but we want to go in detail. And I'm going to tell you now, this is a good time to really research it, you know, because, you know, what better time is to talk about the creation is now than to go into the Passover. You see what I'm saying? With those things. So we really want to get into them things. We really want to research those things out. And you got our brother Jacob. He's about to get into the Passover and those things as well. So these things also are very, 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 very important, man. So we finna get into this, man. So those of us that want to learn more about the creation and the earth and those things that pertain to it, we finna get into that. First of all, we dealing with the first day. The first day, you got all these different elements. You got God. You got the beginning. You got God. You got heaven and earth. You got form, void, darkness. I mean, like, who created darkness? We can cause darkness, but we can't create darkness. You see, you got the face of the deep, that's there. Then you got the spirit of God, what is that? Then you got the face of the waters, what is that? Well, you know, we got all these things. Then he said, let there be light, what is that? Then he saw the light, and it was good. He blessed it. Then he divided the light from darkness. That's judgment. And then he called it the first day. What is that? You know, so we got a lot to cover here, and I hope to God he'll allow us to live that we can see this through. So with that being said, read verse 1 for us, brother.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the night day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Amen. I read verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Stop. Now, see, we looked at in the beginning. Now we need to go, who is God, right? And what is this to us? You know, because we done heard all these different aspects of it. You know, when I'm like this, I don't mind this word God. I don't mind the word Lord. I don't mind any of those things because people say, well, see, you can't say the word Lord because that's Babel, and that means ball. Well, man, where did you get that word ball from, Phoenician? Okay, where did you get the word Yah from, Phoenicia? Where did you get the word Yahweh from, Phoenicia? Where did you get the word Elohim from, Phoenicia? This whole alphabet is built on Phoenicia, the 22 continents in your alphabet is ancient Phoenicia. You do not speak English, people. There's no such word as English. That's made up. We speak Phoenician with a Greek accent. Because the Greeks stole the alphabet from the Egyptians, which was given the alphabet by the Phoenicians. And so while we're sitting up here talking about, you got to say Yahweh, this, that, and the other, you don't understand the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton, I'm not even going to tell you, you know, what the tetragrammaton is, because you should want to know what that is. You should research what it is. You should find out how the word Yahweh came into presence. Don't get me wrong. To me, Yahweh is nothing more than a conversation like God.
or anything like that. But when I'm using this King James Version Bible, I got to use the conscience of it because this book is published by King James. Anything else outside of this is copywritten. So if it's a copyright, that means something has to be altered or changed. I can't roll with that. I can only roll with what's published. That's 1611 is published. The 1886 is what we're reading now without the Apocrypha. It's published. We got to roll with what's published. So if I'm going to use this King James Version, I can't go in here and say, in the beginning, Elohim said this. No, I can't change that because in the end, he said this small thing. He said, if you change anything in this word, you got curses and plagues coming. He said, one jot and one tittle shall and no wise pass from this law. So we don't have the power to alter nothing that's in this book. None. Because Jesus warned us concerning those things.
Amen.
So when we're getting all off into that, Yah this and Yah that and Yahweh this and Yahweh that, you got a book you can go and find for that. Just know that it's copywritten. You know, if you want to really speak Arabic, then read the context out of Arabic. Read it from Arabic, but don't come into King James talking about this and that and the other because those are two different conversations. I respect that Arabic conversation because that's Arabic and it's published. No problem. It's not copywritten. It's actually published. I got to respect that. But do not come talking about, well, this got to be here in the 1886 because those things don't coexist together. And you can't tell me that, you know, this isn't, you know, if this is here, this is there, and that ain't supposed to be here, and that ain't supposed to be there, because when you start saying that, then you start to say that the word of God isn't consistent, and you can change anything to your passions when it comes to the word of God, and I'm not in agreement with that. So everything in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, is 100% from the word of God. Simple as that. So, now, with that being said, skip down to verse 26 and continue.
Verse 26 reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish. Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Stop.
And God blessed them.
So he said this. So here it is. He said, and God said, let us make man in our image. That's a plural. Now, he's not talking about angels because angels don't look like us. If you read the word of God, the angels don't even have a skeleton. They minister spirits of flame of fire. They don't even have a skeleton. But God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. So therefore, the first thing we have to do is look up, what the difference between an angel and God, right? So let's look at that.
Right.
Go to Psalms. Go to Psalms 104. No, first go to Genesis chapter 2 and 23. 2 and 22, in fact. Genesis 2 and 22, when you receive it, read. No,
Genesis
2 and 21. 2 and 21.
2 and 21. That's fine. Genesis 2 and 21 reads, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, shall a man.
Stop. So we see here that the woman is also created of bone, right?
Yes.
He said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So if I open up a woman, I'm going to find a skeleton, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and pick it up at verse 36. Now, Jesus is going to walk in the time out of time. You know, he's just going to appear like boom, right? Out of nowhere, he's going to step into time. Read 36 and read down to verse 39. When you receive it, read.
So you said Luke 24 and what now?
And 36.
Oh, okay. All right. 24 and 36 reads, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit.
He so what they thought them, they saw, a spirit. They thought they saw an angel, right?
Yes.
Because that would be something that they would, man, we see an angel. So what is this? So another thing, why would they be spooked? But anyway, continue.
But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
See that? So the first thing he told us, he said, let us make man in our image. So we just found out that a spirit don't have flesh and bones. But Adam and Eve did. Adam and Eve had a skeleton. That lets me know that the God of Israel have a skeleton.
Amen.
That's the difference. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 1, right? Hebrews chapter 1 and let's pick it up at verse 7.
Hebrews 1 and 7 reads.
Actually, pick it up at verse 5. Actually, verse 4. Pick it up at verse 4, bro.
That's fine. Hebrews 1 and 4 reads, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Stop. For so unto which he is made better than the angels. So if he's made better than the angels, so are we. He's saying that we both are created in the image of God. So he's being made so much better than the angels, but we found out that he fed flesh and bone, right? He had a skeleton.
Yes.
Keep reading it.
Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which other angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels and other angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire.
Stop.
But,
So this is what they thought they saw came into the room. They thought they saw the spirit. But Jesus told them, no, spirits don't have flesh and bone as you see me have. That's why they can shapeshift. That's why they can change from one being into another. They can shapeshift. Angels don't have flesh. If you got bones, brother, you can't shapeshift. That would make the werewolf movies impossible. That would make those movies like vampire movies and all that type of stuff impossible, because that means the skeleton has to reform, and that ain't going to happen because the skeleton cannot shapeshift. It is a impossibility. You can be what they call that when you can be a contortionist. You can do things with your skeleton. You can dis-enlarge joints and stuff like that. But you can't shapeshift. You can't turn your body into nothing else. That's impossible. Only an angel can change themselves into something else. In fact, let's look at what an angel looks like. Let's go into Psalms chapter 104. Psalms 104. Let's get a witness in Hebrew so those of us don't read the New Testament. Psalms 104 and verse 4.
Psalms 104 and 4 reads, "Who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire."
See that? Once again, there's your confirmation. The angels are spirits and ministers of flame of fire. They don't have skeletons like Adam and Eve did. That's why he said, that's why he told Adam, look, you have a bone. You have a skeleton. He taught Adam that he had a skeleton, or else he would have told Eve, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Adam knew that he had a skeleton. Adam knew that he was created in the image of God. Adam knew that he was different from the angels. So we can't put Adam unknowing state that God didn't instruct him. God taught him everything. Adam was the first genius. It was nothing Adam could not conceive. Nothing. Nothing was impossible for him because there was no such thing as death. There was no such thing as fear. So therefore, it was nothing for him to conceive. Nothing. Nothing. If Adam wanted to walk on water, he could do it. If Adam wanted to fly on an angel, he can do it. If Adam wanted to go to the other part of this world, he could do it. Now, go into Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 4. Because what we're doing right now is separate, because he said, but which unto the angels, he said, anytime thou art my son and whom I will please. We read that. I could have read that in Psalms 45, but I chose to choose the New Testament for that purpose. Why? Because he's showing us that the Father himself has a skeleton. He has a skeleton. God has a skeleton. That's the difference between man and angels. We are created in the image of God. They are ministering spirits unto us. Ezekiel,
amen,
chapter 1 and verse 4, when you receive it, read.
Ezekiel 1 and 4 reads, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. they had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle.
Stop. So this is why they can shapeshift. One is because they can turn into any one of these things. They can turn into a lion. They can turn into an ox. They can turn into an eagle, or they can turn into a man. This is why when you read this, go to St. John chapter 20. St. John chapter 20, then now this makes sense. St. John chapter 20, and pick it up at verse 11.
St. John 20 and 7?
St. John 20 and 11.
Okay. St. John 20 and 11 reads, "But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and see of two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain."
Stop.
And
stop.
They said
so
to her,
two angels here, right? Okay. So what she should have saw was the face of an ox, the face of a man, the face of an eagle, and the face of a lion, right? Okay, now go to St. Matthew's. Go to St. Matthew's chapter 28. And skip down to verse, just read, start at one.
Okay. Matthew 28 and 1 reads, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay."
Okay, now here it is. Now get this. Now, so she's seen a spirit, right? But then the disciples thought they saw a spirit, and they was looking at Jesus. What do you mean? Because they wasn't in a form. They was in the form of a man. Same thing. They thought they saw a spirit. They saw a man. Just like Samson and their mother saw a... Samson and Samson's mother and father saw a man. They didn't see no cherubim in his full strength. They saw a man. Because they can shape shift. They can shape shift. They can change. But if you got a skeleton, you can't change. So this was separated. This was separated us from the angels, right? So most of us think that God is a puff of smoke. Well, let's see about that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18. Exodus 33 and 18, when you receive it, read.
Exodus 33 and 18 reads, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make."
He said, show me your glory, right? So now God is going to show us his glory. Now we're using the term God because that's what's in the book. We're not going to deviate from what's written because the book says if you add anything to it, you got problems. So let's stay with the book. As long as we stay within the pages of the book, the God of Israel can't jam us because he the one allows this book to be on the earth. So we're good. You know, it's when we start altering stuff because we think we're better than the altars, right? We slaves like a mother. We don't even know the context of the English language, but now we know more than the prophets and the apostles and even the authors and those that wrote the Bible, right? We know more than them. Now we know ancient Hebrew. We know every word that they knew. They translated this book. And now we got more sense than them. But see, they intentionally left out the name God, the name Yahweh or Yahweh Shai or Yahweh or Elohim. Now get out of here with that madness. That's Phoenician. You still speaking English. Knock it off. Look, first and foremost, let me tell you this. If I dream in English and God is speaking to me and giving me a vision and it's not in Arabic, they don't tell me I need to know English, Hebrew, or anything other than that. Because if he ain't revealed it to me, you can't tell me otherwise. Otherwise, you got to tell me, you know, I don't even want to know. Second, how many people have you seen woke from the dead in the name of any other name than Jesus? I'll wait. While we sitting up here spitting on the name of Jesus, I've seen and we got witnesses all over the world that in the name of Jesus, people was healed and woke up from the dead, even in our lifetime. I'm still waiting on somebody to say, man, I was there, this person was dead, and they, in the name of Yahweh, they was woke up. I want to hear it. I haven't heard it. One is Yahweh is in the name. It's a title. That's your first problem. That's not a name. That's a title. Just like Elohim is a title. Yahawashah, Yahawah, things like that. Now you start getting to the name. Yahweh, that's a title. If you understood the Tetragrammaton, then you would know that. But you don't because you haven't read it. You know how I know? Because you're saying that Yahweh is a name. And it's not. You're saying Yahweh is Hebrew, and it's not. You're saying that that was what our fathers called upon, and that's not true. The name that we called upon, God took it out of our mouth. He said, go out here and pollute yourselves among the world and among these strangers and whoever else you decide to pollute yourself among. But don't you pollute my name anymore. Guess what? If he did that, that means he hid it. Or else we'd be doing it even now. We'd be sitting up here, going out here, sinning against God, doing all manners of wickedness. The same way we did when we was in the land. We don't even have no respect on the name of Jesus. We out here just committing all type of wickedness before God, even in this name, thinking that he going to reveal us the name that he has in heaven prepared for us. Please, you ain't got no respect for this name. So I don't even want to hear that. Like I said, far as I'm concerned, Genesis to Revelations, whatever's in this book that's published before God, I'm good. You have to deal with that. Your concerns is not mine. Anyway, 1 John chapter 17 and verse 1. 17 and 1. Because remember now, Moses said, show me thy glory. What is this glory that Moses wanted to see? Read on.
Say John 17 and St. John 17 and 1 reads, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee.
Man, let me say this. So this is the glory that Moses wanted to see. He wanted to see this glory that the Father's in. That's what he wanted to see. Show me thy glory. Now, the other thing is you got a lot of Rastafarians, man, and they yardy, but I'm going to tell you this. They saying Jah. Jah is in the word of God. You can't, they in a good place. Believe it or not, they in a good place with that. Because we can read that from Genesis to Revelation, but we can't read Yah in from Genesis to Revelation. We can read Jah. Your rosters are in a good place with that. Let me reiterate that. Rosters in a better place than most of these Israelites, so-called Hebrews are. They want to change the word of God. Read on.
Verse 1 reads, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Stop. That's what Moses wanted to see. Moses wanted to see the glory that God had before the world was. Now go back to that Psalms chapter 104. In verse 1, this is what Moses wanted to see, this glory, the same glory that the Father have on. Psalms 104, when you receive it, read.
Psalms 104 and 1 reads, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of the sky.
This is what he said. I want to see this. I want to see this covering that you are covered with this light. Your garment is light. I want to see that. I want to see all of that. This is what I want to see. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. He said, show me that glory, right? So when God showed him his glory, not only did he show God his glory and his strength, but he spoke to him in his glory and his strength. So when you read this, you know what Moses saw. Go to Isaiah 30 and verse 27. This also what Moses saw. We got to pay attention to this, man. Moses hit the ground when he saw this. Read this. Isaiah 30 and 27.
Isaiah 30 and 27 reads, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And,
stop.
And his
Moses
breath.
Saw that. Moses saw that. Moses saw not only he saw that he was a devouring fire. What came out of his mouth was fire. He didn't see Moses' face, but he heard God talking, man, and he saw the back of God, and that means that when he saw the back of God, he saw fire shooting from the back of, from his head, from the back of his head, like, you know, like you're looking at somebody, and it's cold outside, and you can see their breath from their back. That's what he saw.
Yeah.
That's what he saw. He saw this. Read on.
And behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the seed of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err.
Woo!
You shall have a song. You shall have a song, as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempests and hailstones.
Stop. Moses saw this. Moses saw this. He heard his voice. He heard his voice and his glory. Not only when he said, show me that glory, he didn't say, show me your part of your glory. He said, show me your glory. So when God revealed himself to him, he gave him his everything. He showed him everything that he was. He showed him what we supposed to become. He said, this is what I look like. He said, not only did he show him that fire came out of his mouth, he said his voice to be heard. He said, and he had lightning coming down his arm with flame of devouring fire and scattering tempests and hailstones. Man, and then he said, bruh, look, this is what God said, right? He said, now this is the glory that he had before anything. This is the glory that he had with the Father. This is what he said. Give me the glory that I have with you before the world was. This is it right here. Part of these things that we're looking at right now is it right here. This is it. This is that thing. He said, not only he said that he had fire coming out of his mouth, he had lightning shooting out of his arms and this, that, and the other. This is why he said he wrote upon the two tables of stone with the finger of God. What? With lightning, Jack? With lightning. Let's go back to that Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, and let's pick it up at verse 24. When you receive it, read Ezekiel 1 and 24.
Ezekiel 1 and 24 reads, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings.
Stop. Remember now, he said, show me thy glory, right? So he said,
yeah.
This. He said, show me thy glory from before the world was. So here we got the angels, right? It says this, and as they went, I heard the noise of their wings as the noise of great waters, right? As the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was above their heads. Wait a minute. So his voice is greater than the voice that they heard in verse 24. Are we listening?
Yeah.
That's what Moses heard. Are we listening? Are we really, really listening? No, we're not. Because we got God sounding like George Byrne, old God, where, you know, seriously? Seriously. Seriously. His voice is greater than the wings that we hearing in verse 24. He created these angels. So they know it. He said the noise of their wings was so great, it sounded like water. Well, yeah, it will sound like water because I'm going to tell you, me, I ride motorcycles. And in my youth, I rode my motorcycles so fast that the water turned into, that air turned into water on my face. And yeah, I was silly enough not to have a helmet on. But I'm here to tell you that I felt oxygen turn into water. So I know these dudes, I know that they made, it was easy for them to turn oxygen into water because their wings were so fast and so great. So I know when I read this, I said, okay, I get it, because I did this. I proved this. I proved that if I could ride my motorcycle faster than 150 miles an hour, I can turn oxygen into water. The air on my face turned into liquid. But listen at this. He said his voice is greater than verse 24. Read that 24 and 25 again. Let's read on.
Verse 24 reads, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, and as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of the speech, as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward. I saw as it was the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about.
Stop! This
and
was
as
Moses saw. This is what Moses saw. He saw that God, not only he was on fire, but his breath was on fire, and that his voice was way beyond comprehending with the natural ears. You know, don't get me wrong, man. I mean, I'm a sci-fi freak. I love sci-fi. And War of the Worlds, when the War of the Worlds came and the aliens took over the planet, they had this trumpet sound. That was like dope. That was so dope to me. But it was nothing like this. It can't even be compared to this. It can't even be compared to the way the angels sound. Are you feeling me? Not only this, he said this, he said, and I saw the color amber. So this was his color. This ain't the Father. This is the Son. He, before he became the Son, he's God here. But once he come in the flesh, this is him before he came in the flesh. His color is amber. So he said this, as the appearance of fire round about within it, and the appearance of his loins even upward, were the appearance of his loins even downward, as I saw the appearance of fire and brightness round about. Look. That's what Jesus said. Show me. That's what he said. Give me my glory, which I had with you before the world was.
This is what Jesus is asking.
This is what Moses asked to see. This right here. This right here. This is what Moses asked to see. This is that thing. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Go to Revelation chapter 1. And verse 5. In fact, pick it up at verse 4 because he was sitting on a throne right in Ezekiel. So here we go again. Pick it up at verse 4.
Revelations 1:4 reads, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen.
Stop. So now he said, now he's talking about Jesus Christ. He made us unto our God kings and priests, right? Now go to Psalms chapter 110. Psalms chapter 110, Psalms chapter 110, and what do he mean made us unto our God kings and priests? Psalms chapter 110 and verse 1, because remember now, he said this in Hebrews chapter 1, at any time did he say this stuff, any angel sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. But he said this to the Son. Watch this. Psalms
110
and 1, when you receive it, read.
Psalms 110 and 1 reads, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
That's what he's talking about. You see this? Both of these are capital. The Lord said unto my Lord, this is the Father and this is the Son, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's why he said this. On the which of the angels, he says, since at any time sin that he made the ministers spirits of flame of fire. Why? Because they don't have a skeleton. What? They can shapeshift. Of course, they can change from a lion to an eagle to an ox to a man. Skip down to verse 4. No, read on. Read verse 2. Read verse 2 to verse 4.
Verse 1 reads, The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth.
Stop.
The Lord has.
What do you mean he had a do of thy youth? Because when he died, he was 33. So when God come back, he's not going to come back looking like he's 500,000 years old with some old white beard, looking like some old dried up drunk. He's not going to look like that. He's going to look like a black dude that's 33 years old with a white beard. Now, it was always meant for us to have white hair and white beard. It was meant for that. Why? Because that's the end of a man. That's the end of a man. That means his changes to become God. He was supposed to turn into God. This is the way it's supposed to end. He's supposed to change from this. If Adam don't sin, we all supposed to be walking around here 33 years old with white beard. When Adam was created, he was created not a five-year-old child, not an infant. He was a 30-year-old man. People say, can you prove that? Yeah. When Jesus was baptized, that represented his death and resurrection. That represented him coming out of the ground. What did that mean? Adam came out of the ground at 30. Yeah, I can read that. Whether you accept it or not, that's between you and God. I don't have to plant that in your head. I just hope and pray that you can receive it and that you can wrap your mind that God actually did that. But yeah, when he was baptized, that represented his death and resurrection. That represented Adam being in the ground, dead, and waking up out of the ground, a full-grown man, 30 years old. Guess what? At 30 years old, you know, most of us that's 20 years old can't conceive what your mind is going to turn into when you turn 30. You know, when you was 20, between 20 and 25, between 25 and 30, when you hit 30, 35, you knew that you didn't know nothing when you was 20 and 25 and 30, between 20 and 29. You knew that you didn't know nothing. You was just a child wilding out. Verse 4, continue.
Verse 4 reads, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the Lord order of Melchizedek.
So, this is what Moses asked to see. The order of Melchizedek. Why? Because he told Moses, I met Abraham as Melchizedek. I am a priest, Moses. The Levites is after the order of me, Moses. So Moses said, show me what a priest look like. He said, I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to show you all of what the priest looked like. He came in a boom. He came with all of it. Now go to Revelations chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. And verse 10.
Revelations verse 1:10 reads, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying,
that's an angel.
I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.
That's an angel right there, because the word of God tell you in Revelation chapter 4, that was an angel, because the angels got the voice of a trumpet. All right? Ezekiel chapter 28 will tell you that they got the voice of a trumpet. So we know this is the angel talking here, but continue.
Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
Stop. This is what Moses saw. He saw him with his priest clothes on. Right? And he said, with a garment down to his feet, girded by, he saw him looking like the priest of Melchizedek. Moses, when he saw this, he made the priest's clothes, and they looking like that. This is why the priest had on their garments. They didn't just pop out of their head, oh, this is what you're going to look like. You know, this is what you look like. The Lord took all that from us. This is why you got all these different camps dressing all different ways. And this is why you got some camps that I ain't going to dress like none of that. I'm just going to just serve the word of God. That's all good. If you want to wear the clothes, cool. If you don't, cool. But miss this. You ain't getting this. You don't get this until he come back. So you ain't even close. To me, most of these people that's dressed up in all these outfits look like the army. They do not look like the priest. The priest don't have on that. The priest have on linen. All white. These cats got on gold and blue and purple and black and gold and orange and gold. They got all these different colors. To me, that look like the army of God. Only makes sense. But they're not the priests. Makes sense. And the army of God had knowledge of God. Why? Because when David was with the army, he taught the army how to serve God. What do you mean? When Saul died, they all cried for Saul, man. All of them did. The whole army, Jack. We wasn't taught to dishonor the dead. Nowadays in this Western society, honor the dead. Oh, yeah, that brother, he ain't, you know, that brother Ben-Amin, he wasn't serving God. He was this and he was that. Or this guy here, or this guy there. We judging people. We judging the dead, and none of the prophets did that. None of the prophets. We way out of order. We so far, we think, man, instead of us mourning and praying and hoping God have mercy on their soul, we throwing them in a lake like we got the place to do it. Like we sitting in a seat of judgment for God. We hope and pray that the Lord have mercy on us and our children, let alone them. He said this, his feet like burnt brass. Why? Because Moses saw his feet. Moses saw him on fire. So his feet was burning, but they was burning. They were on fire. This is what John said. His feet was on fire. They were burning as in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. That's what Ezekiel heard when he said, let down the wings. His voice was above the wings. Other words, I don't know if any of us that been to an air show and you heard one of them F-35s just sit up over your head. Well, the angels sound louder than that. The angels are louder than that. And the angels would knock down an F-35 with a blink. The books say the angels move with the speed of light. F-35, I can see an F-35 shoot across the sky. I can't see an angel shoot across the sky at the speed of light because the speed of light is right now. The speed of light is eternal. That's moving with the speed of time. You know, an F-35 do not move with the speed of time. It's moving with the speed of sound. Are we listening? Verse 16
reads, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death.
Stop.
Right.
So we see here that Moses saw what he looked like. He had on a priest's garment, and he had eyes of fire. His voice sounded like many waters. Right, so Moses was getting blasted here. This is the thing. See, when Moses, when we read that story, we kind of blase past it, man. We're not really taking in what Moses actually got. We missing that story because, again, he said this. He was fire. He was shining as the sun. Right. He's a priest, man. He is a, go to Hebrews chapter 1, right? This is what he showed Moses, what Melchizedek looked like. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1, my fault. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1.
You said Hebrews 7 and 1?
Yes, sir.
All righty. All right. Hebrews 7 and 1 reads,
"For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter." For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being in interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
Stop.
Now,
That's what we saw in Revelation chapter 1. That's who Moses saw. He saw a priest. He saw Melchizedek. He saw God. He saw him, priest of the Most High God. This who Moses saw, Melchizedek priesthood. Why? Because he had to show Moses, first, how to approach God. Second, what we look like, how to dress. Read that. Continue. Read on.
Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham.
Stop.
But,
so Levi was after the order of Melchizedek. That's why Melchizedek showed Moses what Levi is supposed to look like. He showed them their clothes. He showed them what type of clothes they're supposed to have, how it's supposed to be presented, and this, that, and the other. Don't get me wrong. I think, the garment that the brothers is putting on, with the gold and the purple and all that type of stuff, and the red and the blue and all that, I think that's all good. That's a good look. And then the Yachty brothers, They got the Afrocentric digs and all that there and the other. That's a good look. But the thing is, the priests was the linen, man. And it was in all white. Can't mess with that. Can't mess with that. When we went to war and you fought the army, you met our armies in our different colors, like our brothers, purple, blue, red. You met all the tribes in their colors, right? But if you got to the Ark of the Covenant, you knew you was dealing with the priest, and that was the end of your story. That's why he said, my vesture was covered in blood. I will stain my garments with your blood. Why? Because his garments is white. You can't see blood on purple or red, but you can see it on white.
Yes.
Like I said, They looked like the armies that went before God, but that definitely wasn't looking like the priests. That ain't what the priests looked like. The priests was in all white. Now, let's go back to, let's go back to Revelation chapter 5 in verse, let me see where I want to pick this up at. Revelation 5 and 9. Because remember now, Melchizedek was without lineage, having neither father nor son. That was God, man, because God don't have no lineage. There's no such lineage as Melchizedek. Some of us say, well, I think that was Shem. Well, Shem, Melchizedek, couldn't have been Shem because he was God.
Revelations 5 and 9 reads, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto.
This is the thing. This is what we're missing. The Melchizedek priesthood ain't about lineage. It's about righteousness. That's why he said he's the king of righteousness and the king of peace. If you don't have no peace in you, you're always raising hell and keeping up a lot of nonsense, you ain't going to see the kingdom. You're going to miss that. You ain't going to see the first resurrection. You're going to miss that. The point is, he said, if you are scorning, you looking down on people, you think you better, you're going to miss that. You're not even going to be able to stand in judgment. You done. You're going to be dead on your feet. All because of your pride is too high for the Most High to even stand. He know you're going to be covered in the spirit of the devil. There's no humility. Therefore, you won't see God. It ain't in you. That's why he said Moses was the meekest man upon the earth. Why? Because he saw God. Why? Because he had the laws of God. Why? Because he read all the law of God. But the people provoked Moses to anger because they were wicked. But then again, hey, look what happened to them. They won't come up in the first resurrection. You think you're going to get away with that madness? Forget about it. You can do whatever you think. You can point whatever finger you want to point. It doesn't matter. In the end, you won't see the kingdom. The book says you won't stand in the judgment because you provoked the priest of God. You strove with the priest of God. You strove with his word. You strove with his judgment. Like the devil. Verse 5. Verse 10. Read on.
And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
This is the other thing. Now the Melchizedek priesthood, like he said, now the Melchizedek priesthood come with an order of priests too. That's why he said, I've anointed thee above thy brethren. So now, here comes the resurrection. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Now, watch this. Revelation 20, and pick it up at verse, no, Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And verse 7.
Revelations 19 and verse 7 reads, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath he made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Stop. So here it is. He said this. So he said, now, she should be arrayed in purple, gold, black, blue, red. Is that what we just read? No. He said they're going to be clothed in linen too, white, like the priest. They're coming up with the priest. So they are part of the Melchizedek priesthood, and the Melchizedek priesthood ain't don't have to get all white and linen. That's the deal. Don't get any better than that. Right?
Yes, sir.
Skip down to verse 12 and continue.
Verse 12 reads, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Why isn't it red? Why isn't it purple? Why isn't it black? Why isn't it all these exciting colors? Why he don't have on a Western suit with vest and a shirt and a tie? Exactly. See, you know, we be striving over nonsense, man. We petty as hell. I ain't got no problem with saying we as a people is super petty. And we think very small. We so small that we'll let our address dictate how much you're supposed to grow. Read on. No. That's good. That's good. Because he said his vesture was dipped in blood, right? Okay.
Yes.
Let's see if we can find that somewhere else. Go to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63. See if we can find that. Yeah.
Isaiah 63 and 1 reads, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore, art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat?
He's covered in blood, Jack. He's covered in blood. Read on.
Yes. I have trodden the wine press alone, and of all the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance
is dressed in all white. What do you mean? Because he's dressed in all white. That's why he said, and a vest is covered in blood. Why? Because he said, this is why he gonna be in all white, and about time he get done, he gonna be like the priest that just got through sacrificing the ox. He's going to be like the priest that just got through sacrificing a ram. He's going to be like the priest that just got through sacrificing a goat. He's going to be stained in blood. Now let's go down. Now let's go back to that Exodus chapter 33.
Yeah.
33 and 18. Will you receive a read?
Exodus 33 and 18 reads, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And
that's
he
the priesthood.
Said,
that's the priesthood sacrifice, to show mercy upon whom to receive mercy, and to show judgment on whom to receive judgment. Continue.
Verse 20 reads, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
See, that's the thing. That's why, you know, like he said he had fire coming out of his mouth. But, you know, if somebody's standing in front of you, it's cold outside, you can see that, the vapor. You ain't got to see their face to know that that's what's coming out. Go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34 and verse 1.
Exodus 34 and 1 reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be
see,
ready in the morning."
That's the thing. Remember now, he had lightning coming out of his hand. He said, "I'm going to write on these here." So we've seen that, right? Okay,
yes,
skip down
sir.
To verse 4 and continue.
Verse 4 reads, "And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity."
Who is he talking about? Because devil God, devil the Lord right there. Who is he talking about? Remember now, he's the priest of the Most High God. He's showing Moses how you're supposed to approach the Lord. So he's showing you, this is how you approach me, Moses, because this is how I approach the Father. This is Melchizedek and all his power. This is Melchizedek that Jesus said, give me my glory before the world was. He showed Moses all his glory before the world was. Well, we've been looking at bits and pieces here and there. We just seen it. Continue.
Verse 5 reads, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by."
I gotta do this. What kind of cloud was this? Go to Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 4. I got to read that because he didn't just show up. He showed up. Ezekiel 1 and verse 4. One verse.
Ezekiel 1 and 4 reads, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst there were as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire."
Stop. That's what Moses saw. And it came from where? Where's the north? Heaven.
It's up above, sir.
Yes, sir. So he said, not only that, and he came down in front of Moses in a whirlwind of fire from heaven. A fire enfolding itself. Enfolding means it was controlled. It was, you know, like this fire wasn't just like any other fire that was burning like any, you know, like a fire out of control. It was more in control than a torch, man. This fire was a controlled firestorm. Now let's go back to that Exodus chapter 34. So we're trying to get this idea of what Moses saw. So when he make this here, when he make the priesthood clothes, he don't mess around with it. He makes sure he make it exactly the way God set it up. Now read that 5 again, 34 and 5.
Exodus 34 and verse 5 reads, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation." And God made, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped.
Stop.
And he said.
So now we see here that Moses made haste and bowed his head to the ground. Now go to Exodus chapter 31 in verse 18. Because he said he's going to write upon them stones, right? Exodus 31 and 18, one verse, and read it.
Exodus 31 and 18 reads, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God."
Stop. So then we just read in Isaiah chapter 30 that it was lightning coming out of his hand.
Yes, we did.
Look, brother. When I last checked, don't we have an electrical signature between us all? If we find ourselves on a new carpet, we can shock each other all day long. Pow.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of clothes we have on, we can kick off enough fire to see it.
Yes, sir.
Guess what? The heavens kicking off an electrical signature. All the planets is kicking off an electrical signature. The angels move with the speed of lightning. They kicking off an electrical signature. The heavens is made from an electrical signature. So therefore, what are we talking about? There is no God. We are out of control as a people. We don't fear God. We don't believe in God, because if we did, we would know that everything around us testified that there's a God. Why? Because we have everything electric around us that we use that came from him. We give light even to the machines that we use. What do you mean? Our car will not start without electricity.
Amen. Amen.
You got one of the deliberator, whatever that thing is, that they give people that have heart attacks. What it do? When a person have a heart attack, it do what? Boom.
Jump start the heart,
don't it?
Yes, sir.
It take an electrical signature to bring back life, don't it?
Yes.
There it is. Now let's go back to that 34. Moses got the commandments. He wrote the law on these things, right? Now skip down to verse 34 and 29.
Exodus 34 and 29 reads, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses was not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him."
Stop.
And when Aaron and all the children
said,
of Israel.
Hold up. That's why he said, "I'm going to create man in my image. You're going to look like me. I'm going to pass by you. And if I let you in the kingdom, you're going to look like me. You're going to be able to look at me. You're going to be able to see my face." Moses had took on the face of God. Now read 30, verse 30.
Verse 30 reads, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him."
But Moses called unto them. Like a light bulb. He was shining like a light bulb. He was on fire. He was like the X-Men. He was just glowing. He was like some dude that just walked out of an atomic furnace and was glowing.
Phoenix.
That too. So now we know where they're getting all these ideas from, right?
Right.
So this is God in the beginning, man. This is him. Now, wait a minute. Remember now, he's the priest of the Most High God, right? So go to Isaiah 57 and verse 15. He's the priest of the Most High God. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. We got one more after this. 57 and 15, when you receive it, read.
Isaiah 57 and 15 reads, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones."
See, he didn't
know
that are humbling themselves before God, not show they face and they ass to God and they pride and all that nonsense against everything that he written. He ain't there for them. He there for them that will actually believe in everything that he said. Read on.
"For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and I was wroth and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart." I have seen his way.
Stop. See, this is the thing. This is how you know people ain't seeing God, because they got a froward spirit. This is how you know they don't know God, because they got a froward spirit. If you know God, you control this mindset. You won't be out of control with your mind and your mouth and your actions. Ain't no way in the world you can tell me you know God and he just told you, "I hear me," and he went on fraudwardly in the way of the way he thought, not the way I think, because he said, "I'm here to revive the humble and the contrite spirit, not those that's full of pride and think they more than what they think they are." Right?
Amen, brother.
Go to Ezekiel. Go to Zechariah. No, Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm thinking Jack. Zechariah chapter 6. Let me see. Maybe Zechariah chapter 5. Hold up. Give me a sec. We're going to read this before we close out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, chapter 3. Chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. In fact, pick it up at verse 1. When you receive it, read.
Zechariah 3 and 1 reads, "And he showed me Yahshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Yeshua was clothed.
Stop. Who is Joshua?
Jesus.
Joshua in Hebrew is Jesus, or Yiddish, I should say. Read on.
Yes, sir. "Now Yahshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. An angel of the Lord protested unto Yahshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among thee, these that stand by. Hear now, O Yahshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Yahshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.
Now, he says, set a crown upon his head. What crown? Go to Revelation chapter 19 again, and this is where we're going to wrap it up at. Revelation 19, and pick it up at verse 11.
In Revelations 19 and verse 11 reads, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture.
He said, and he had on his head many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. 13.
Verse 13 reads, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
That's Jesus, brother. That's him. He's the Word of God. Give me that glory that I had with thee before the world was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We thank you for your time. We hope we edified someone, and we hope that someone received this message who God is, right? In the beginning, right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So with that being said, any questions? You got any, you know, statements you want to make?
Well, you know what? I want to say great lesson, Brother Job, that the Lord bestowed upon your heart, you know, with the watering of his instruction. Grace and peace to our family and those that are welcome to the Sounds of the Living Waters / Commonwealth of Israel. We welcome you out at this time. I want to say that, you know, I thank God that that he poured his spirit out upon us today, you know, that we be mindful, you know, that tomorrow's not guaranteed for anybody. So I just thank God that I'm able to be a part of being able to hear his word and I just love every kind word that the Lord says. I mean, for he's a righteous God. And I just hope that, you know, that we receive that instruction and keep it invested in the tablet of our heart always. And we keep those commandments and statutes always. So, excellent lesson, Brother Joe. Much love to the family. With that, I close.
In Jesus' name, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope it edifies someone. And for our brothers and sisters that are near and far, one day we're going to read all the places that y'all chiming in from. But we're just going to say thank you for now. And God willing, we live. Hey, we'll probably be back in a little bit just to do part two, right? Amen. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here, at the sounds of living waters.
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles, people. Shabbat and shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
We'll teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.